All right, I want to tell everybody who's kind of drifting around that we have a very big speaker coming up now. He is America's favorite populist, backed by populist demand, Progressive Magazine columnist, the creator of the extremely popular Hightower Lowdown. You hear his daily commentaries on the radio. You see him anywhere. There's a little guy somewhere struggling against corporate power. He is there. He is here today for us in Madison, Wisconsin. Please join me in welcoming Jim Hightower.
Wow, what a deal. Let's say thank you to Ruth Conniff, Progressive Magazine, and Cap Times for making this thing possible. Just makes me happier than a mosquito at a nudist colony to be standing up here looking out at all you scrappy Bob Festers fighting for common sense and the common good, you corporate greed whackers and Republican butt kickers. It's just a joy to join you in this Bobapalooza revival, coming together to seek populist revelation and redemption here in the corporate republic of Scott Walkerstan. It's just amazing what you've got going here. We live in both strange and wonderful times, do we not? How bizarre can American politics get? You're probably asking yourself that. I have been. 35 years ago, we got Ronald Reagan with his trickle-down economics. And at that time, I remember, we thought, well, at least it can't get any worse than this. And now, 35 years later, we've got Cokeocracy with tinkle-down economics. And lest you think it can't get any worse yet, look at that goofy gaggle of Tea Party Republicans running for president of the United States. Not of the tinfoil hat club, president of the United States. These are people who would have their fingers on the nuclear code. Imagine that. Not so long ago, to run for president, even as a Republican, you had to have some quasi-qualifications. And now you don't even have to be sane. It's goofy enough that they don't believe in climate change, believe in as though it were some religion, you know, rather than, you know, fact. Climate change, they don't believe in climate change. But Scott Walker and Ben Carson are two among them who do not believe in evolution. And they're making a good case for that, actually. The whole group of them wouldn't make good landfill, if you think about it. But enough about them. The good news is that a real politics, has finally moved to the front of our national debate, the politics of inequality. And it's now front and center. You know, and that's because even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked, right? We're being kicked. And the vast majority of Americans are now realizing that. After 3 decades of relentless class war, let's call it what it is, relentless class war by the moneyed elites against the rest of us, the most fundamental issue in our society is now in the open, with group after group focusing on it. I'm a lucky duck in that I get to travel a whole lot. I've been just about every place that's got a zip code, and every place that I go, there's somebody or some group of somebodies or some coalition of groups of somebodies that are organizing, strategizing, harmonizing, and mobilizing in open rebellion against the plutocrats and kleptocrats, against the downsizers and privatizers, against the big oil frackers and the Walmart wage whackers, against the bankers, bosses, big shots, bastards, and bullshitters who think that they're the top dogs and we're just a bunch of fire hydrants out here in the countryside. You see these rebels piece by piece, but when you add it up, it's a real movement. The Fight for 15, led by fast food workers, the least educated, most vulnerable, lowest paid people in our economy, and they are leading the fight for good wages. And they said it was impossible to do, but they're doing it. $15 being passed all across the country. Adjunct college professors, there might be some of you right here in this crowd. Do you know that some, like more than nearly 70% of the classes in colleges now are taught by adjunct professors who live in poverty? They're not paid a living wage. They're paid barely a poverty wage. Postal workers, you heard from Mark Diemenstein there. Public service, the public good. Join that great alliance for saving our American public postal service. That's a great fight that's going on. Family farmers, just 2 days ago I was in Chicago with Farm Aid, Willie Nelson and Neil Young and them, putting together a coalition there of farmers with food artisans, with restaurateurs and chefs and consumers and farm workers coming together to build a good food movement. They're part of this effort as well. Immigrants, Black Lives Matter, LGBT community, equal pay for women. You go down the line, we've got a movement that is building in the countryside, dealing with that fact that too few people control too much of the money and power in our society, and they're using that control to get more for themselves at our expense. That's the great fight that we're in. That's a historic fight, the American fight. And now we've got leaders with moral authority and big megaphones coming forward, leaders who actually lead. Imagine that. From the Pope to Bernie Sanders. Inequality is no longer just one among many issues. It is an historic question with fundamental morality at stake, questioning who we are as a people, as a society, as a nation. Bernie Sanders, he is now leading in Iowa, now leading in New Hampshire. And he is exciting and ever broader, ever more diverse majority of disenchanted, disenfranchised, and disgusted Americans. Because, not because he's so good looking, not because he's slick, not because he's charismatic, but solely because he's talking about the specifics of inequality that American families talk about around the kitchen table. That's real politics. He's responding to people, not to pollsters. He's responding to people, not to fundraisers. He's talking about those real issues. As you know, Bernie's been a regular Bobfester, but he couldn't be here today because, he's busy in New Hampshire up there this very day. But he didn't forget us. He sent a letter to you. Here it is. I'm sorry I'm not able to be with you today, blah, 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 blah. But he notes that the spirit of Bobfest is the spirit of my campaign. It's not just polls and large turnouts that make our campaign so extraordinary. Ours is a people's campaign. We don't have a super PAC funded by billionaires, bankers, or big business. We don't represent their interests, and we don't want their money. Imagine saying that. Yet he, in his last reporting period, raised among the highest level of candidates for president, raised more than $15 million. We've received more individual contributions than any other campaign. Over 400,000 individuals have contributed with an average contribution of $31.20. You know, Bernie got big money by taking little money. You can't buy a president for $31.20, but you can get a president who will not be bought by big money for $31.20. And this is not an ego trip that he's on, but building a movement. He says the truth is corporate America, the billionaire class, and Wall Street are too powerful for even a president to confront alone. We need a powerful grassroots movement of millions who are prepared to fight back, to say loudly and clearly that this country and our government belong to all of us. Events like Fighting Bobfest are a vital part of the struggle to reverse the terrible trend in American economics and politics. when we stand together, black and white and Latino, young and old, men and women, gay and straight, native-born and immigrant, there is nothing we cannot accomplish. And that's the truth. That is what America politics is all about. Real politics. Bernie says, thank you. He says to you, thank you, helping us build a political revolution to reclaim our commonwealth and our democracy. It's been a long time since we've used that term of revolution, but it's time to use it again, because that's what it's going to take. The powers that be, you know, old Mr. Power doesn't come out with white gloves and a silver tray saying, want a little taste of power? You got to take power. Old Huey Long, when he was running for governor down in Louisiana, used to say, if you want some ham, by God, go into the smokehouse, because that's where the ham is. And if you want power, you got to go into politics, because that's where the power is. Woody Guthrie put it well. He said, rich folks took your money with politics. You can get it back with politics. That's what Bernie Sanders represents, what our opportunity is here. And I know that you probably ask the question, certainly the cognoscenti, the political pundits, they ask it all the time, well, yeah, but can Bernie win? Yeah, there you go. I'll tell you a little quick story. I was with Fred Harris not long ago. Some of y'all remember Fred, a great senator from Oklahoma, ran a populist campaign for president in 1976. Had a very good campaign going here in Wisconsin. I was the national coordinator for that. I made Fred what he is today, a professor in Albuquerque. I was with Fred out in Albuquerque not long ago. We were sitting around a cafe, four or five people were sitting there and got to talking various things, and the topic of baseball came up, and Lou Gehrig was raised. And this younger guy said, who's Lou Gehrig? I don't remember Lou Gehrig. And I said, well, you know, the Hall of Famer, New York Yankees, died young. He died of Lou Gehrig disease. And this guy said, he died of Lou Gehrig disease? What are the odds of that? Well, the pundits say that the odds are against Bernie, but the people are not. And as more and more folks hear his message, feel the honesty in his voice, and imagine the possibilities of a genuine people's revolt, the odds switch from no to yes. And when you turn to yes, then you're succeeding. We're making something happen. And that's what can happen in America. It can be yes again, rather than the politics of no. It takes us to make that happen. As Bernie makes clear, it's not about him. It's about us deciding to take charge. I leave you with this thought. It's from my old Aunt Eula. She was a farmer up in Fannin County, northeast Texas. And something big happened back in the late 1940s. I was but a boy back then. And I'd be on our farm. But the big thing that happened was that the Rural Electrification Administration came in and moved power into that county. For the first time ever, that meant that they could put an electric pump in the creek and pipe water right into the house. That was a huge change back in those days. But one day they were having a problem because the water coming out of the faucet was all murky. And the men were standing around, the three or four of them standing, well, I don't know, what do you think's wrong? They're scratching their butts and scratching their heads. And Eula turned to me and she said, Jim, the water won't ever clear up till we get the hogs out of the creek. That's our problem, isn't it? The hogs are in the creek. Put your shoulder together, shove the hogs out of the creek. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Thanks to Bob Fest. Keep it moving. Bob Fest forever. Thank you. Thanks to Bernie. It's all of you. Keep it pumping. All right. Bob Fest forever.
There's a reason why he's America's favorite populist, isn't there? Jim Hightower.